Hey everyone, and welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. You know what time it is? It's time for another deep dive, where we take the latest cybersecurity news and, well, try to make it something you can actually use. You know, make it practical.
Actionable insights.
Exactly, exactly. And today's a good one, folks, because we've got some wild stories to unpack. We're talking about a vulnerability in WebEx. WebEx? They could have let hackers snoop on your meetings. Then we've got this ransomware scam, but wait for it, it's happening through snail mail, like actual letters.
It's kind of a throwback.
Right, like what is this, 1950s? And then, to round things off, we've got this botnet called 1111 bot that's been causing havoc with some serious DDoS attacks.
Oh yeah, this one's a big one. Definitely making some waves.
Okay, so let's start with this whole WebEx thing. Because a lot of us use WebEx, so this one hits close to home for sure.
Uh-huh.
Apparently there was a flaw in WebEx for BroadWorks that could let attackers steal your login info, your credentials.
Yeah, this was a real concern. Just imagine someone out there having access to your username and password, basically giving them the keys to your account.
Yeah. Not good, not good at all. But wait a sec. I'm not even sure what WebEx for BroadWorks even is. Is that like something businesses use?
You're right. It's not your everyday WebEx. Think of it as a system that integrates video conferencing with other communication tools, you know, like messaging, phone calls. It's something you'd see in a business that needs all that stuff in one platform.
Okay, that makes sense. So this vulnerability, what could attackers actually do with it? Like, what's the worst case scenario here?
Well, it really depends on the specific setup, but in some cases, they could listen in on your meetings, potentially getting their hands on sensitive information. They could even impersonate users, you know, sending messages or making calls as if they were you.
Oh, wow. That's pretty bad. So how did this even happen? Was it like a coding error or something?
It's a bit more complicated than that. It involves something called SIP headers and how sensitive information was exposed within them.
SIP headers. That sounds pretty techy.
It is, but think of it this way. When you send the letter, you have the envelope with the address and all, right?
Yeah.
Even if the letter itself is sealed, that information is still visible. So SIP headers are like that, but for online communication. They contain info about the call or message, and, well, in this case, that info was being exposed, making it ripe for exploitation.
So like a leak in the digital envelope.
Precisely. Attackers could intercept those headers and use that information to do all sorts of nasty things.
Okay, so I gotta ask, how widespread was this? Is everyone who uses WebEx at risk here?
Luckily, no. It only affected specific versions of WebEx for BroadWorks, those running on Windows servers. So if you're on the cloud-based version, you're probably fine.
That's a relief. But, you know, even if you're not directly affected, this whole thing is a good reminder to keep your software updated, right?
Oh, absolutely. Cisco, you know the company behind WebEx, they released a fix, a configuration change. But users need to install it. It's like locking your doors at night. You wouldn't leave them open, would you?
Nope, definitely not. Always lock your doors, folks. It's Cybersecurity 101. But this makes you wonder, though, what are the chances of this happening again? With other software, I mean.
Well, it's a never-ending game, you see. Security researchers find vulnerabilities, and then companies patch them before attackers can exploit them. It's a constant back and forth.
It's a cat-and-mouse game.
Bah!
Speaking of attackers getting creative and finding new ways to exploit things well, that brings us to our next story. And this one is, well, unconventional, to say the least. We're talking about a ransomware scam that's decided to go retro. Using snail mail.
Yeah, you heard right. Physical letters sent through the good old postal service.
It's crazy. Why even bother, right?
Yeah.
When you could just send out thousands of emails in seconds.
Well, they're going after CEOs with this one and using corporate addresses. So the letters look official, you know, all about creating that sense of legitimacy and urgency.
So picture this. You're a CEO. You open your mail and bam, you get this letter. What does it say?
It's a ransom note, plain and simple, demanding a hefty sum in Bitcoin, somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000. The scammers claim to have hacked your company and are threatening to leak sensitive data if you don't pay up.
Wow, I'd be sweating bullets if I got one of those.
And to add fuel to the fire, they sometimes include real passwords that have been leaked in other data breaches. So you see your actual password printed there, and it really gets your heart racing.
Oh, man. Talk about psychological warfare, right?
Exactly. It's all about manipulation. Because here's the kicker. There is actually no evidence of any real breaches in these cases. It's all a big bluff.
So they're banking on the CEO just panicking and paying without double-checking anything.
You got it. They're playing on fear, the fear of a potential data breach and the damage it could do to the company's reputation.
That's pretty sneaky, I gotta admit. But I guess it makes sense in a way. CEOs are busy people. They might not have time to investigate every little thing. And with all the data breaches we hear about these days, it's easy to see how someone could fall for this.
And that's exactly why we need to talk about these scams. Spread the word. Knowledge is power. The more people know about this, the less likely they are to be fooled.
Absolutely. So if you're a CEO or you know a CEO, tell them about this. Don't let these scammers get away with it. Okay, now let's switch gears a bit and talk about a threat that's a little more, shall we say, technical. We're talking about a new botnet called 1111bot, and it's making quite a name for itself with some massive DDoS attacks. All right, botnets, DDoS attacks. I'm going to need some help with this one. What are we dealing with here?
Imagine a huge army of computers, but they're all zombies, under the control of one attacker.
That's a scary thought.
That's a botnet in a nutshell, a network of compromised devices, computers, servers, even your smart devices at home. They're all infected with malware, so someone can control them remotely.
Okay, so what are these infected devices doing?
All sorts of bad stuff, but with 1111bot, it's mainly DDoS attacks. That stands for distributed denial of service, and it's basically a way to overload a website or an online service with so much traffic that it just crashes.
Like a digital traffic jam. But instead of cars, it's data packets.
Right on. And because the traffic is coming from so many different places, it's incredibly hard to defend against. It's like trying to fight off a swarm of bees. They just keep coming.
So who are they targeting? Are they just attacking random websites, or is there a strategy here?
Seems like they're going after telecommunications companies and gaming servers, primarily.
So anything that would cause major disruption and frustration if it went down.
Bingo. They want maximum impact, and unfortunately, they're getting it. We've seen reports of attacks hitting hundreds of millions of packets per second, enough to take down even the most robust systems.
Okay, this is getting a little unsettling, but let's back up a bit. How are these devices getting infected in the first place? Are we talking super skilled hackers breaking into systems, or is there something else at play here?
Well, with 1111bot, they're exploiting basic security oversights, things like weak passwords, default settings, open ports. They scan the internet for vulnerable devices and use automated tools to get in.
So it's not always about super skilled hackers. It's about taking advantage of basic security mistakes.
Absolutely. And that's what makes it so scary. Many people don't realize their everyday devices, like security cameras or those smart home hubs, they can be just as vulnerable as their computers.
So what can we do about it? Do we just unplug everything and live off the grid?
Well, that's one way, but not very practical. The key is to be proactive, you know? Change those default passwords on all your devices, keep your firmware updated, and disable any features you're not actually using.
So it's all about good cyber hygiene, just like washing your hands and brushing your teeth.
Exactly. Good habits and those small steps can make a huge difference for your overall security.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground here. WebEx vulnerabilities, snail mail scams, botnets launching DDoS attacks. The threat landscape is definitely a wild ride.
It is, and it's always changing. But hey, that's why you listen to Cyber Mornings Daily, right? We'll keep you up to date on all the latest threats and trends so you can stay one step ahead.
Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. Before the break, we were talking about how 1111bot exploits weaknesses in devices, you know, often by taking advantage of those basic security oversights.
Yeah, and that got me thinking, it's kind of scary how just a weak password can turn your smart home hub into a weapon in a massive cyber attack.
Exactly. And that's why understanding the scale of this thing, this botnet, is so important. We're talking over 86,000 infected devices all working together to launch these really disruptive DDoS attacks.
86,000. That's a huge number. I know we've touched on DDoS attacks before, but maybe we can revisit that for a sec. What are the real world consequences here besides, you know, frustration, of course? Well, imagine a business that relies heavily on its online presence, like an e-commerce site or a financial institution. A DDoS attack could shut down their entire website, preventing customers from accessing their services. That means lost revenue, damage to their reputation, and maybe even legal problems down the line.
So it's not just a minor inconvenience, it can have a serious impact.
Right, absolutely. And it's not just businesses either. Think about critical infrastructure, like hospitals or power grids. If those systems were disrupted by a DDoS attack, the consequences could be, well, catastrophic.
Yeah, that's a chilling thought. It really shows the potential for chaos and disruption on a large scale.
It does. And with the growing number of connected devices, the threat from botnets like 1111bot is only going to increase.
So what can we even do about it? Is it even possible to fight back against something this massive and distributed?
It's a challenge for sure, but not impossible. There are a few strategies. One is to focus on strengthening the security of individual devices. Encourage manufacturers to prioritize security in their design process and educate users about the importance of strong passwords, regular updates, secure configurations.
So building a stronger defense from the ground up.
Precisely. But it's not just about prevention. We need to improve detection and response as well. That means using sophisticated tools to identify and analyze attacks as they're happening and develop strategies to lessen their impact.
So a two-pronged approach.
Mm-hmm.
Prevent the attacks, but also be prepared if they do happen.
You got it. And it's a collaborative effort. Security researchers, law enforcement, internet service providers, tech companies, all working together.
Sounds like a huge undertaking.
It is. But it's encouraging to know there are people out there fighting against these botnets.
There are. And let's go back to the WebEx vulnerability for a second. Have we seen any evidence of it being exploited out in the wild?
Thankfully, no. Cisco's been very proactive. They issued a patch, and they've said they haven't seen any indication of attackers using it.
That's good to hear. But it still highlights the importance of staying vigilant and keeping our software updated.
Couldn't agree more. Cybersecurity is a constantly evolving landscape. We can never let our guard down.
It's interesting to contrast the complexity of that WebEx vulnerability with the, well, almost laughably low-tech approach of this snail mail ransomware scam.
It is a striking contrast. Shows that attackers are always looking for new ways to exploit weaknesses, whether it's through sophisticated technical exploits or, you know, simple psychological tricks.
Like they're playing chess, always trying to stay one step ahead.
Great analogy. And it highlights the importance of thinking outside the box when it comes to cybersecurity. We need to be ready for anything and adapt our strategies as the threats change.
Well said. And that's a perfect segue into our final discussion point for today. We've explored these three distinct threats, but what do they tell us about the bigger picture? What can we learn from these stories to better protect ourselves and our organizations in the future? Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. We're wrapping up our deep dive today with a look at the big picture. You know,
yeah.
What can we actually learn from these three cybersecurity stories, and how can we apply that, those lessons, to stay ahead of the bad guys?
That's the question, isn't it? We've seen vulnerabilities in software that everyone uses, like WebEx. We've seen scammers getting creative with old school tactics, like snail mail. And we've seen these botnets, you know, leveraging all those connected devices to launch disruptive attacks. It's a pretty complex picture.
It is. It really is. And I think one thing that really stands out to me is that cybersecurity isn't just about technical defenses anymore. It's about understanding how people behave, recognizing those psychological tricks, and even being aware of threats that might come from unexpected places, like our mailboxes.
You're absolutely right. We can't just keep building higher firewalls and installing the latest antivirus software. We need to think bigger, take a more holistic approach. And that means factoring in the human element, training employees to spot phishing attempts, educating CEOs about social engineering, even talking to our families about online safety.
So cybersecurity is becoming a life skill, like critical thinking or financial literacy.
I think so, yeah. In today's world, we all need to be cyber aware, no matter how tech savvy we are.
And another thing that struck me is just how important it is to stay informed. It's not about being paranoid. It's about understanding what's out there, what the threats are, and taking steps to protect ourselves.
Exactly. Knowledge is power. The more we understand these threats, the better we can defend against them.
So where do we go from here? What can we do as individuals and organizations to make ourselves more secure?
Well, I think a good place to start is to adopt a mindset of continuous improvement. Cybersecurity isn't a one-time fix, it's a journey. We need to constantly be evaluating our systems, looking for vulnerabilities, and implementing those security measures. This goes for everyone, by the way, individuals and big companies alike.
So it's not about reaching some kind of endpoint where we're 100% secure. It's about always trying to improve.
Right. And that means staying up to date on the latest threats, learning those best practices, and being flexible enough to adapt our strategies as needed.
It sounds like a lot of work, honestly.
It can be, sure, but it's absolutely crucial. The stakes are just too high to ignore cybersecurity. Think about the fallout from a data breach, a ransomware attack, or a critical infrastructure outage. The cost can be enormous, both financially and for a company's reputation.
Okay, so we know cybersecurity is important, it's an ongoing process, and it needs a holistic approach. But for those of us who aren't experts, where do we even begin? Are there resources, tools that can help us navigate this whole thing?
Of course, there are tons. There's a wealth of information online. Websites, blogs, podcasts like this one, obviously. And there are many organizations, government and private, that offer guidance and support on cybersecurity best practices. A quick Google search can go a long way.
So do your research, stay informed, and don't be afraid to ask for help if you need it.
Exactly. Cybersecurity can seem intimidating, but there are plenty of experts out there happy to share their knowledge and help keep you safe.
Great advice. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important thing is to remember that cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility. We all have a role to play in making the online world a safer place.
Well said. And on that note, we're going to sign off for today. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive into the world of cybersecurity. Stay informed, stay vigilant, and stay safe out there, everyone.
See you next time.